It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi there. Welcome to the show. We're live in downtown D.C. We've got you for an hour with some of the biggest hits on the planet. Judith Owen is our guest today. She's here on a tour promoting a brand new album that goes on sale in March. It's called Somebody's Child, and she's in our studio. We'll get a live performance and get to know Judith in just a bit. Stand by. This is Border Crossings.
I've got my own broke way of thinking. I knew I'd blown it from the start. Why'd I go and write the things I had to say? Second guess myself when it was too late, too late. And now my heart is out there. Yeah. I'm stuck here waiting for your answer. Don't wanna close this screen at all. I could go a shop and give my girls a call.
I'm Larry London. I welcome you to our show. Today we have a very special guest in our studios. Judith Owen is on tour for her 11th album that comes out in March, and we welcome Judith to D.C. It's great to have you here.
Lovely to be here. Thank you so much.
Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you. I'm really very excited about this particular album.
Now, what's the difference between the new album, Somebody's Child, and Ebb and Flow, which I know was kind of a story about a part of California?
Yeah, it was a love letter to California because I grew up really very influenced by James Taylor, Carole Kings, Joni Mitchell particularly, of course. But this is, I think, the first time that I've really looked outside of myself. I'm a confessional singer-songwriter, that's for sure. But this time I actually am looking outside. I'm looking at the things that I think count in life the most. And it all began with the title track, Somebody's Child, which was about seeing a homeless girl on the streets of New York in the snow, barefoot, no clothes, homeless, very mentally ill, and all of us scattering to avoid her, basically. And at some point, my decent human being side obviously kicked in, and I thought, that's somebody's child that we're all ignoring and in denial about, because it's so terrifying seeing something that you know could happen to any of us. And it's the truth. It could happen to any of us. And with luck, you know, bad genes, bad brain, bad breaks in life, your parents, your upbringing. So the whole record became about not missing the things that are really important. You know, often the small things. It can be love. It can be the simplest of things. But it's also about the planet. It's about life. Mm-hmm. It's about everything around us that we tend to kind of do, you know, to be in denial about and blink it about.
It's interesting to see where a songwriter gets inspiration from. Yeah. So you kind of take your inspiration from things you see around you that,
yes,
that kind of move you and affect you.
They do. Anything that I see, when I see other people struggle with the same things I struggle with in life, or I see somebody in this situation, it was about seeing a person that, you know, I saw them and was frightened by them. But I, like I said, I immediately felt that that's a human being. We run past homeless people and we don't want to see them because it's almost like they're not humans. These are people that started like us, you know. So that's really what mm-hmm. moves me. And I think it's that constantly finding empathy for the people around me and the world around me that I see. I mean, a lot of what I'm writing about in this album is really about also what's happening to the planet, what we're doing, what we're, you know, pushing along, speeding along. And like I said, it has to mean something to me. Mostly it's about the fact that I'm in denial. You know, that's the truth. I'm not pointing fingers or lecturing anyone mm-hmm. here. It's not what I do. I'm just saying I'm in denial about this. I don't want to face up to this. Mm-hmm. And I know that we're all like that. But there's other songs on as well that are equally about letting people go, you know, in life, and saying goodbye to people, letting people move on, letting people go in life. It's infinitely about the human condition and the struggles that we all go through.
Well, you have quite an accomplished career with your 11th album coming out, yeah, and all the songs you've written and the shows you've performed around the world. You are truly a international performer and star. Do you remember your first song, the very first song you wrote?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I mean, the first serious song that I wrote. And I think this is what really, I say, my father was an opera singer and at Covent Garden, and so I say I can sing because of him. He's the reason I can sing. My mother's the reason why I sing, because she was an incredibly emotional and actually quite a troubled and sad person, because she struggled. She was incredibly beautiful and joyful, but at the same time she struggled with depression. And I wrote about her. I wrote about her, and when she passed away, I wrote for her and all about her, and that music became everything. And the first serious song I ever wrote, and I remember, I can play it, like, if you ask me to, and I'm glad you're not going to, but if you ask me to now, I could literally play that song, because it meant that much to me. And it was the first time that I basically put absolutely what I was feeling and the sadness of losing her and of missing her so much. And that absolutely went, you know, straight through here, straight into my hands. Mm-hmm. And into, you know, lyrically out immediately, and into the piano, and I've been terrified that I will one day I'll wake up and I won't have this gift anymore. And it's one of those things that you always worry about, is that
sure,
one day I'll wake up and it'll be gone. And I touch wood, because I can't reach the floor, but I touch wood that it will never go, because it's one of them. It's the thing that I prize the greatest in life, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, music is a privilege mm-hmm. for all of us.
Absolutely. It's a gift to the world, too.
It is a gift to the world, and it got me through life. It's been the soundtrack to my life. It is for all of us, and I feel like that is the job. That's my job, is to give the listener and the audience permission to feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really, really it.
All right. We've got Judith Owen in our studio. We're going to let you do your job. If you wouldn't mind performing a song for us.
Absolutely.
We would love to hear some music.
I'm going to start with, you know what, the first thing I'm going to do is actually take my phone out and
turn it off.
Because you know what, that, you know, I get really, really angry when other people leave their phones on.
Especially if the husband calls.
Yeah, especially if the husband calls. But when it's actually me, the artist, that's unforgivable, Mary. I should be slapped. But anyway.
That's okay. We'll give you a pass.
Give me a pass on that one. Come on, I'm emotional. So call it in, man. So, but this is the song I was talking about. This is Somebody's Child, about that girl on the street, and it really
beautiful.
Is, as I said, it's the heart of this record. There's a girl on the street in a trash bag dress. There's a baby in her belly and milk in her breast. And I'm crossing the street 'cause she's acting so wild. But she used to be me and she's somebody's child. So spare a little thought for the down and out, 'cause it's true. If the tables were turned, the deal was different, it might be you. Well, look at that man, he lives in his car, 'cause a run of bad luck went and pushed him too far. A woman who lives in a box out the back, when she started out, did her dreams include that? So spare a little thought for the down and out, 'cause it's true. If the tables were turned, the deal was different, it might be you. So leave them on the streets if their families don't care. We've got crow's feet to fill, we've got no cash to spare. The food lines are endless, the shelters are full, and such are the things they don't teach you in school. The down and out, 'cause it's true. Ooh. If the tables were turned, the deal was different, it might be you. There's a girl on the street in a trash bag dress. There's a baby in her belly in her breast, and I'm crossing the street 'cause she's acting so wild. But she used to be me, and she's somebody's child. You know, she used to be me. You know, she used to be me. She used to be me. She used to be me, and somebody's child.
Wow. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. They're standing around the world right now. Judith Owens, our guest here on Border Crossing. Somebody's Child, the song we just heard, also the name of the 11th album. March is going to be an exciting time. March, the album is coming out, and yeah. I know that you're probably very nervous. This is like having another baby, you know. Your 11th is about to be born in March.
Listen, it's like having another baby, but I don't lose my figure.
That's it.
That's why I like to think about this. I retain my womanly figure. Nothing goes bad.
You have a great group of musicians with you today.
I mean, let's introduce them because they're just absolutely remarkable.
Exquisite.
You heard on cello right here to my left, the fabulous Gabriella Swallow. All the way from London as well.
Thank you.
The dentist's daughter.
Very much.
I did my homework.
On English teeth.
And your beautiful teeth.
I think we actually share truly the best British teeth so far. She has dentist's teeth, there's no doubt about it.
I'm a rarity, that's for
yes.
sure.
On my right is the legendary. He was just at the Kennedy Centre, in fact. We're so thrilled to have, and I get to work with this man all the time, the amazing Mr. Leland Sklar on bass.
Yes, 2,000 plus songs he's contributed to.
Albums.
Yeah. How many songs do you have? You ever thought of how many songs you played?
I did an interview a while back, and the guy had said it was around 26,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're only 19 years old.
Isn't that incredible?
And I remember in the 70s seeing James Taylor and you. The white beard's been there.
Yeah.
It was less brown back then.
I'm a negative of what I was.
You've been
then.
There with James the whole way. You guys met at Cal State, I think.
I was going to Cal State Northridge, and I was in a band, and he was a friend of a friend and came and hung out at our rehearsals, and suddenly Fire and Rain came out. He had cut that and asked me to play one show, and I'm still doing that show.
And Phil Collins and quite a few others.
Yeah, but Judith Owen.
Yeah, she's
finally hit the apex.
You finally made it. Now you know you've made it.
The pinnacle of my career.
He brings it all the way back. I know, the pinnacle of your career. I love the way he brings it back to me because, yes, Phil Collins this year and Judith Owen.
And Judith Owen.
God bless him. Yeah. But, of course, yes, when I was saying earlier about, you know, Ebb and Flow, it's just how this is the first time we worked together.
Yeah.
Because that was a love letter to that time in, you know, the music of Laurel Canyon that influenced me so much. And, of course, I thought, hell, I'm just going to go and get the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
she was so together. Shocked to find we were all still alive.
That's right. And you were standing on Laurel Canyon.
Believe me, it was absolute...
right at the freeway off.
That's right. Woodland Hills, and there he is, bring him in.
It was an absolute thrill of my life. And we all played it. And of course, let's not forget, to the right of Leland is the fabulous, all the way from Lisbon, Portugal, Mr. Pedro Segundo, who's going to be playing in a minute on percussion. And these are all the incredible players are on this record, as well as Russ Kunkel on drums and Waddy Wachtel on guitar. So it's that same crew. So I brought together and an amazing amount of strings, I would say. So what's happened, I think, on this record is that it's brought together that American influence and my, you know, I think innate British sensibility, which that comes from being a classical baby. I mean, I can't help myself. We're all classical babies.
Mm-hmm.
We four, and that's where we all started, amazingly enough, and it really comes through.
And I read a quote when you were describing your music,
because
you do have many different styles of music,
yes,
that you encompass into your sound, and you said it's a British thing. That's what you said.
I think a lot of it is a British thing, but mostly it's about the fact that when I growing up, I was hearing classical music, but I was also hearing an enormous amount of jazz, R&B, gospel. I mean, my dad was just like an absolute jazz nut, and which is unusual for a classical musician.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably why I ended up in New Orleans, in fact, is because that really is you know, I mean, that's where my heart is. So there is this, there are so many different styles in my music, because to me, all of this is just the language of music. I don't see any difference between classical music. There's one song I do, I make a joke of it, but it's like I bring together the blues and Rachmaninoff, and it gets a laugh, of course. But the truth is, they're not a million miles away from each other because they both are speaking the blues. I mean, that's the truth.
Right.
They're talking
right.
about sadness and innate pain. And so to me, it's all the language. Mm-hmm. That's the greatness of music. There's no borders or boundaries in music. Mm-hmm. It's just feeling.
And you've gotten a lot of attention for your covers of a Roxy Music song and Deep Purple song.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, people, you know, seem to like you covering hard rock songs. For
I think
some
people, I hope I get to the point where people will, because you know, the Deep Purple guys were so thrilled that I'd covered, did a sexy bossa nova of Smoke on the Water, and I think it's the highest compliment you can be played. I mean, why do some the you know the same as the original? It cannot be better than the original. Why do that?
Mm-hmm.
So my aim is to actually make it as James Taylor was so brilliant at. You make it into
his
your
biggest
own.
Hits were actually covers.
They were, yeah, and you, it's your job to make it sound like you own it, like it's about your life, really.
Wow,
so.
It's a pleasure to have you here, and
it's
refreshing. I would like you to do another song if you wouldn't mind. Judith Owen is our guest.
I'm going to keep in this in the theme of this album. Take it into a very different vibe again now, you know, style. But I was, funnily enough, in London watching the BBC, as you do. And this guy came on the TV and was basically talking about how the planet was in such a mess that we had like 50 to 100 years left. And I know that's exactly Whoa. The face that I pulled, because I know this because I'm a bit of an eco-warrior. But hearing it made me absolutely have that moment. I don't have children, you know. I write songs and I have dogs. I mean, that's my life. We're joined on this one, but I just, my first thought again was, what do you tell your children? What do we tell the next generation? What do you do? How do you explain this? So, and I didn't want to, you know, this isn't a song about making people feel down. So of course, my job is to wrap up difficult sentiments and. You know, it's to surround it and wrap it and cushion it in beautiful music. So this is what I came up with, and it's called Tell All Your Children. Told us something something that made me fall apart. Told us that time was running out, friend. Unless we made a change, unless we made a start, and inside, we're all the same, and mothers, fathers, I tell all your children, where do we go so wrong?
Great, great stuff. Judith Owen here on The Voice of America. And I went to your website and I saw a Christmas photo.
Yeah.
So did you put out a holiday album with your husband? Husband, and there you are. Or was that just the family Christmas card?
Oh, please, Larry. What do you think of a woman like me? I take Christmas. I take it hostage every year. I run with it. And I actually do a Christmas show every single year with my husband. The fabulous Harry Shearer. And the two of us, we started this party at home. It became such a giant hit because I get very depressed at Christmas. You know, I mean, I just do, because I think a lot of people have a hard time at Christmas time.
Why?
Because the bar is raised too high. Because you are expected for it to be the greatest day ever, the presents to be perfect, the food, the everything. The pressure is too much.
That's why she makes me wear the beard.
And that's why I make him wear the beard. So he's basically Father Christmas all
year. That's it.
This is what I want in life. So he's my dirty Santa, and I love it that way. So what I say to this is...
Wow, I could go.
No, don't go. So wait until we finish.
Okay.
Then you can go. So... So basically, we got a bunch of amazing people in the house, and they would sing around the piano, old style, very Welsh, you know, very that kind of thing of everybody entertaining each other. You know, goodness gracious. The idea is amazing, isn't it? So it has so happened that we were asked, would we ever think about bringing this to stage? And it was the year of Katrina, and being people that live in New Orleans, we thought, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do it to raise money, and to raise money for... the musicians down there, the musicians clinic for musical instruments, for the schools. And we have been doing this every single year ever since around America. And we sometimes bring it to Washington. It's been a long time since we've come here and do it. Mm. But this is a very serious part of our year, actually. And it's called Christmas Without Tears.
Wow.
Because, I mean, you obviously are a person, you have a good time at Christmas, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
I can tell.
It's a festive time.
I think the glass is brimming over with you.
It is.
That kind
it's
of
more
guy.
Than half full.
Well, the glass is half broken with me. So I just want to tell you that for those of us who, know, are very emotional. Obviously a very emotional person. It's a little harder. Hmm. That's all.
Now,
that's
all. You had mentioned, you know, as far as the feeling of having musicians and doing things at home.
Yes.
I also saw a video of you performing in your home.
Oh, hell yes.
You had a
yes.
huge house full of people.
Yes.
Everybody was there as supporting right. you, and you were performing. But I understand there was an interesting story as to how it came about that you had that show in your house.
It's one of my favorite things. In you know, you never know what will happen, Larry, in life. I mean, you just don't know. And I was opening for the fabulous Brian Ferry year before last. And in fact, I'm about to do the same. We're about to go out, the four of us again, for the whole of March, which is very exciting, same time as the record comes out here in America. And so we were about to play the Royal Albert Hall, which to me is such a big deal as Brits. I mean, we know what that means. It's kind of like my dad had sung there, my sister had done a thing there. And so to me, it was like my husband had even performed there. So I was like, God, I finally get to. So... They're all laughing because they know how terrible this is. About 30 seconds before I'm about to go and do my stuff on stage, it turns out that Brian has an appalling throat virus, which they've been trying all day to get on top of. Anyway, it turns out he really cannot sing. He hasn't got no voice. So it was that close to the show. It was cancelled. And I said words that I've never said in my life, nor would you ever hear them out of my mouth, which was, everyone back to my place. I mean, this is ridiculous. I said this to, you know, countless people who'd flown in to see it and journalists that come in around the world to see us playing. And I just said, everyone back to mine. I mean, this is not me. This is not who I am. You know, I'm not really that garrulous. And just on stage. And so everybody went back, crammed in the house. We did the show. Top to tail in the house. The most enjoyable experience of my life.
It was
Albert Hall, so what? Big deal. You know, hey, 8,000. Okay, we got 50 in my house. What, 1,600, whatever. So, but it was, more champagne was consumed, more joy. And the weirdest thing happened. People were writing about it the next day in everywhere because it was so unusual to have that kind of an experience where... You know, there's no bells and whistles. There's no nothing. We're just all crammed in having the best of time. And that's what I'm always trying to, in my own way, I'm always trying to bring back that feeling in every show, is that you should feel like you're in my living room with me talking to you and singing to you, not in any, you know, it doesn't matter what the size of the place is, you're still in this small, intimate place with me. Right. And I'm still having a conversation with you. So to me... It doesn't matter what size, that's the feeling that matters. That's, again, that's what music is about. It's about that.
I loved it because it was so raw and impromptu and unrehearsed. It was very real. I mean, everybody moved into the house.
Oh.
You didn't test the acoustics. You didn't know how the bodies would affect everything.
Yeah.
You just did it.
No, I believe Pedro was playing the top of the piano. That's what I think you were doing, is at that time, that was your percussive instrument, was the piano lid. And it was just, I'll never forget it. That is what I would say, that was one of the highlights of my life, just because it's one of those things that you would consider, you'd think it would be so wrong and it would be the worst possible ending to a sad thing, situation like that. It was the best. It was the best evening, but that just, you know, there you go, making lemonades. Maybe that's something.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm not, maybe my glass isn't quite
there
broken
you go.
After all.
So you're going on tour in March with Brian Ferry again. Any chance that you'll get that opportunity to go to Royal Albert Hall?
Not this time around. At some point, you know, if they have to literally wheel me, I mean, onto the stage of the Albert Hall, you know.
You're going to do it.
I will do. The good news is that I actually count that I have played there because we sound checked there and we did the set and sound check. So to me, it's like,
Right.
Is that as close as I can get? I'll be a happy woman. Because I've been ticking off, you know, you have this bucket list. It's sort of like, you know, Hollywood Bowl, you know, Carnegie Hall, it's something there. Which is, so all the things that you do in life, they mean so much because of the place. We just played at the Troubadour and the Troubadour to me is like a holy place of the music that
for me too.
These guys began there. It's all my heroes have been there, you know, whether it be Joni and James and Carol,
the Eagles.
I mean, Elton John. I mean, all these people at that point to me. That so there I was on stage. There
and
we
she
were.
Killed it. Just killed it. It was a great show.
Well, I can tell you, you know, wherever you perform, you're loved and revered. And who can say they have fans like Linda Ronstadt, Jackson Browne? I mean, these people have come out and you know, kind of given you a vote of confidence. They've actually said, you know, you're music is great.
Well, that's when the people that you have grown up admiring and have influenced you come around and you hear that they love your music. I don't think there's any greater feeling than that. Mm. There really isn't, and it does warrant you basically bouncing off the walls and dancing around the room like an idiot. I mean, I recommend that to anyone, because it's just, you know, it's just that's why we all do it. You know, at the end of the day, is to connect and be loved.
And I mean,
it's as simple as that.
It's got to be a really rewarding feeling to go perform somewhere where they don't speak English, but they know the words to your songs.
I got to tell you right now, I make a supreme effort to connect with people in other countries that aren't English speaking. By the way, everybody speaks English, and we are the laziest bunch of people in the world. Let me tell you, we English speakers are just like, we shout in English and expect people to understand us. So what I do is I learn all the worst swear words of every language, of every country that I go to, because I think I need to make the effort to connect with people in the most visceral way. And I have bonded with my swearing. Let me tell you right
with
now.
With all the taxi drivers, you have bonded.
Oh, I
with
bonded.
All the
forget
nasty
that.
Words.
I would bond with a nun if you put them in front of me by swearing at them. I know how to do this. And I just think that there's a... I'm very expressive, and my music kind of... You can feel it even if you don't understand it. But I can get my point across. And thankfully, these people are very patient and wonderful. And they want you... to entertain, you know, they want you to be great. They want you to. And
well, you're fascinating, that's for sure. And it's truly great to have you in our studios here in D.C. Judith Owen is our guest. Somebody's Child is the name of the new CD, and it comes out the first week of March.
That's correct, yeah.
And would you do another song for us?
I will. And because of, in honor of the fabulous Brian Ferry, I will do, and as we were talking about covers, this, I think, is possibly one of my favorite covers that I've done for some time now. And when we were on the road with him, and I think we were up in Scotland at the time, and I was, you know, you can be surrounded by your dearest friends, as these guys are. I'm so lucky to be on the road with these beautiful musicians. But I found myself going back to the hotel at night, of course, being as lonely as a person can be, because it is a lonely occupation, just ultimately. I don't get to have the amazing laughs they do, because I have to save my voice. So I have to shut up and go away and be quiet. So, and not get drunk.
You never stop talking.
right.
And so they're off having a good old time. And I'm by myself. And I kept hearing him, obviously, sound checking this next song. And to me, at the time, I was so homesick. It was my husband and my dog and my sister. And I was just... And it struck me that the meaning of this, I know his was meant romantically, the original, but to me, it just says everything. And again, with the record, it's like, without the people you love to share your highs and lows within life, the smallest and the greatest of things, it doesn't mean that much. And that's why this song, you know, it's like, basically, it says it. It's like, you know, there's nothing more than this.
I could feel at the time there was no way of knowing fallen leaves in the night. Who can say where they're blowing? I'm as free as the wind. Hopefully learning how the sea on the tide has no way of turning. But more than this, well, there's nothing one thing. It was fine for a while. There was no way of knowing like those dreams in the night. Who can say where we're going? But more than there's nothing more than this. Tell me one thing more than this, more than this.
Taking you to a place far away and then bringing it right back. Yeah. Judith Owen is our guest here on Border Crossing. Somebody's Child is the album. You are exquisite. Just listening to you, you get drawn in. The listener gets, it's almost like hypnotic. You know, I get lost. I just kind of drift away. So thank you very much for coming on. Beautiful sound, beautiful, you know,
thank
music.
Thank you for having me in my band. And it's a real pleasure to share this time.
Thank you for bringing your music to the world. And 11th album, we look for another 11 more to come.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, keep on keeping on. And come back the next time you're in D.C.
and
visit with us
again.
I will.
I'd love to do that.
The website is judithowen.net.
That's right.
And people can get the album on the website and iTunes, Amazon.
They can get it iTunes, Amazon, the usual places. And like I said, if you go on the website, you'll find out where I'm on tour with Brian Ferry all of March into April. So I look forward to seeing
Just in the U.S.? Any
just
international
in the US.
Plans?
I'll be going back up. I'm going to be doing Jazz Fest in New Orleans this year as well. On I think it's the 6th of May. Mm-hmm. I'll be going back out, probably doing more German dates. For sure, I'll be back in Europe, back in London. So definitely check out the website, all those dates. We'll be there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Judith Owen, Somebody's Child. My name's Larry London, and this is Border Crossings.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under. From Peter's Law and mentioned her. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run,
It's Border Crossings on VOA 1. Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. Songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
Border Crossings on the Voice of America and the Redemption Song. That is Bob Marley, and it is a request here on the Voice of America during our request segment of the show. Thank you very much for all the requests. I want to thank Sterling in Ghana for requesting that Bob Marley song. And before that, we heard Starboy from The Weeknd. B.U. Makuria requested that song. And from Australia, Adelaide, Australia, we got a request for Men at Work, who are also from Australia. Michael is celebrating National Day of Australia. So that is January 26th. That is today. It's Australia Day. And Men at Work, we're down under here on Border Crossings. I'm Larry London. We got time for one more song. And let's check this one out here on Border
when
Crossings.
When your legs don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet, will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I will be loving you till we're 70. Baby, my heart could still fall less hard at 23. And I'm thinking about how people fall in love in mysterious ways. Maybe just the touch of a hand. Well, me, I fall. Honey, now take me into your loving arms. Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars. Place your head on my beating heart. I'm thinking now. Love right where we are.
when my hair's all but gone and my memory fades, and the crowds don't remember my name, when my hands don't play the strings the same way, I know you will still love me the same. 'Cause honey, your soul could never grow old, it's evergreen. 'And baby, your smile's forever in my mind and memory. I'm thinking about
Ed Sheeran, by request for Cloud Freeman, Thinking Out Loud. Thank you for listening to Border Crossings. We will be back tomorrow at 1500, right here on the VOA 1 Music Network.